Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
Listen to the words of this song, reading the last stanza. Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? There are those pictured in Revelation chapter 7 who washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace there? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansions bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 28, reading to the end of the chapter. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Let's pray that God will give us an understanding and not leave us, as described here, without understanding. Our Father, we come to Thee through Christ Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, who is prophet, priest, and king, and must be that for each and every one of us, to teach us, to be our priest, to die for us and shed His blood for us, and to be a king also, to rule over us. We give thanks that all of this is part of Thy great salvation, salvation by grace, that Thou dost work in us to the glory of Thy name and to the good of the church, and then through the church to the blessing of the world. Even as said to Abraham, in Thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And we pray that we might see that more and more unfold in our time, to both Jew and Gentile, all nations, each and every one. We pray, Father, for those who have had the word, that they might be revived, as our nation and some others that have had much more in worship in the past than we do in the present. We also pray for those who may not yet have heard the word and who may never have had the word translated into their own language. We pray that that may soon take place, that all the ends of the earth may hear and fear and turn unto Thee, that what is promised in Thy word may come in our time. We also think of Paul's words to the Thessalonians, that the end would not come till there was a falling away. And we know that that is also taking place now and described here, as we have read, given over to a reprobate mind. And we are seeing more and more of that, more and more despising Thy way, despising the church, despising that which is good, and calling evil good and good evil. We pray, Father, that again Thou would open our eyes, that Thou would put Thy fear in our hearts, that we might have the beginning of wisdom even in our time when we are so foolish and so wicked. And as we have read earlier in this chapter, in regard to creation, that knowing these things from creation, we're not thankful, but became vain in our imagination, and our foolish heart was darkened. And we fear, Father, that in many ways we are there, murdering the unborn, not wanting right marriages, allowing them and ordering them to continue. And we pray that that may change. We pray for the healing of our homes. We pray for the children in the broken homes. We also pray for those in sickness and injury. We pray that there might be healing. We pray, Father, for those in hunger and the homeless, the war-torn lands and the persecuted. All these we pray for through Christ, in whose name we give thanks. Amen. Looking at this chapter again, as we've often said, a chapter of many different emphases, the beginning, the wonderful description of the church. In verse 6 of this first chapter of Romans, we read, among whom ye are also the called of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful blessing. That was probably something new for Rome. Had never been there in the past, and now at this time there was a church there. And Paul writing to it and addressing them as those called of Jesus Christ, and then describing them further as beloved of God, called to be saints, and then giving thanks to God that their faith was spoken of throughout the whole world. We might say, what a wonderful church. And all Paul has to do is probably instruct them further in the ways of the Lord, that they might grow in the grace and the knowledge of Christ. But here, in the last part of this chapter, we have awful description of people. and this was to the church. If this was to the church at Rome, shouldn't it also be to all of our churches today? Are there churches better than this? Are there churches that even of which it can be said, your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world? I often fear that our faith in our own church isn't even spoken of through the city, much less the state and the nation. And then here, the whole world. We give thanks that we have the opportunity by radio and by other electronic means and by the printed page that a church can reach the rest of the world in ways that were never possible before, that we can reach even by such a message as today into the homes in countries that the gospel is forbidden. But they still may not know us as this church was known. Your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Not just the message, but how they believed it. And now God is speaking in warning and saying, even as they didn't like to retain God and their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Later, that probably happened to the church at Rome, like so many others that were also spoken of in ways describing them in their beginnings, in their blessings, and then, like the church at Ephesus, Christ says, you've left your first love. And some of the other churches also in Asia, the seven churches that Christ ordered John to write to, five of them were called to repentance not too long after their beginning. And much like Israel of old, after Joshua, we read, there rose another generation that knew not the Lord. As we've said before, we don't know when this church in Rome began. It might have begun 25 years before this. And now, coming to the younger ones, growing older, or others being added to it, and some coming into the church, sometimes like the church at Galatia, that brought another message. And Paul said, if anyone brings another message than the true gospel, let him be accursed. And there probably were those who possibly denied the message in the Bible of creation and did not recognize it as it's described here in nature either. As the psalmist said, the heavens declare the glory of God. Declare it wonderfully. We can see it. We can hear it. We can feel it. The heat, the cold, the rain. All these things can be seen and felt. And they can be a blessing or a curse if God gives them in the way that is needed in the crops, in the fields, even in the cities and the homes, then it is a blessing. But if the rain comes as a flood, or the wind comes as a hurricane or a tornado, it brings death and destruction. All in God's hand. Yes, in God's hand. As we read in the history of Israel, he sent rain on one city and not on another. And it was not because of what we call today climate change. Yes, we should be concerned how we deal in nature and what we do. We are a wasteful people with our huge landfills. It's a shame. We hear very little of a concern about that. We hear about the air, but not about the ground that's being swallowed up with waste. There are many ways in which we could do much better than we do. But God has promised seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, as long as the earth remaineth, and it is in his hand. And if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, which is Christ, all these things will be added in the way of our need, in the way of blessing. And even if there are chastenings in with it, that's also needed. Here, God is chastening with His Word, declaring they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. How many people there are that don't want to be talked to about the Lord? Do not want the knowledge to come to them, or do not want to keep it. The Lord Jesus said in His ministry here on earth to some who were described as believing, "If you continue in My word, then are you My disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Those did not want to hear that. At the end of that 8th chapter of John, Christ told them they were children of their father the devil. He also told them different things, and they argued with Him. In the end, they took up stones to stone Him. After being described as hearing these words and believing on Him, we can be so close, yet so far. And as I said last week, I've talked to people more and more that have gone to church in their younger years and are not doing so anymore. It should be a concern. Why are they leaving the church? Not just the young people, but even older ones as well. And the group of unbelievers are becoming, sadly, the majority in our country. No longer a moral majority or a spiritual majority, no longer the church being an influence and the preachers being an influence in the country, but news media, television, entertainment is becoming our God. And we are certainly, like Paul also gives much description, the same as he does here to the church at Rome, to Timothy, and says, "Men shall be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God." That isn't mentioned here, but other things that he does mention to Timothy are mentioned here the same. In the 30th verse, boasters. We have in the 29th verse, covetous. We are that as a people. Many people vote for those in authority and in government because of the promises they give them, and they vote out of their covetous heart. They will give me what others have earned, others have worked for. That's the thinking, and that's why people vote as they do, listening to such promises, such wicked promises, feeding the covetousness, feeding those who do not want to work, feeding those to give things that are not necessarily needed. Not everyone has to go to college. And some talk about, well, everybody can have free college. Formerly, young people would go and learn a trade. They would go and work with somebody. And how we should do more of that today. Learning to work. Not everybody needs the same kind of an education, but they all need practice in work to do what should be done, some of it by their hands, not just by the mind, by the educated, but many things that need to be done that could be learned by young people. Thankfully, there are some that are doing that in what are called vocational schools, and how we need to urge some of these things to be done instead of the foolish, the wicked promises that lead to covetousness, and in the end, everybody gets poor. If a man had a pie amongst 100 people, and somebody would come along and say, "I'll take that pie away from that man and give it to you," and all the 100 would say, "Yes, that's great," how much would they get? Soon the pie would be gone. Nobody would get much. And there wouldn't be another one. That's what's happened in many countries. That's what's happening in some countries today. And generally, when these promises are made, they're made by wicked people. They are filled with unrighteousness, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy. I want what others have. When we read full of envy, is probably even worse than covetousness. Envy has led to murder. I know it. I've seen it in my own family. People get envious, and they get hateful, and they kill. Yes, then what? Are they better off, satisfied? No, not all that kill are found out and punished, but many are, and when they do so, out of envy, out of planning, they go to prison for life. Terrible, terrible for what they did, and now what they have to experience the rest of their life. And if there's not repentance, it will be for all eternity. Out of envy, out of covetousness, out of wickedness, out of murder, as it says here, further in verse 29, and the other things lead to it. Not only is there murder, afterward there can be debate, deceit, even with one that has murdered, did not want to admit it, blamed someone else, deceitful, lies, exaggerations, ending in fables, making up stories, changing things. All of that is taking place more and more. Whose fault is it? When we read this, we wonder, did the church at Rome remain true? Was the reputation that they had, as Paul wrote to them and heard about and knew about, continuing? Certainly, it didn't continue for all of them. We can see that plainly in the second chapter. Paul addresses some particularly as teachers in the church and asks, you that teach others, do you teach yourselves? Sadly, sometimes people are told, practice what you preach. People can tell me that too. Don't always practice what I preach. If we preach the Word of God, it's perfect. It tells us to be perfect. It tells us that all these things here are wrong. All these things are worthy of death. Not only those that actually do them, but those that have pleasure in them that do them. And that is one of the things that is taking place in our country. People have pleasure in voting for murderers, murders in government. That want to appoint judges that allow murder. That government that wants to keep murdering the unborn. And many say, well, I'm not for that, but they vote for the ones that are, and they have pleasure in that. They want those to be elected. And I get mailings from different churches that are against abortion, but their church as a whole votes for the murderers. The church must cleanse itself. As we read all these things, this isn't alone out in the world. It's in the church. And as Peter said, if judgment must begin, it must begin at the house of the Lord. As I mentioned earlier, 5 of the 7 churches in Asia were called to repentance. Even in the early day, when Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, far earlier than the letter that Christ ordered John to write, sometime later, he said, awake, thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. How much are we sleeping while the devil is doing his work in the home, in our individual life, in the church, in the government, in our schools? The devil doesn't sleep. The church does. 3 times God ordered Paul to write to the church, this church as well. Toward the end of this epistle, Paul writes to them, it's high time to wake out of sleep. So, as good as they were in the beginning, they went to sleep when they shouldn't have, and didn't wake up when they should have either. And we're told it's high time to wake out of sleep. Now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Yes, we are getting closer every day to the day of Christ's return, to the day of judgment. We're 1 week closer than when we spoke out of this last week. I don't know how close. People have predicted and were wrong. But we do know that God has in these last days spoken to us by His Son. And so if the last days began when Christ was here on earth, 1900 and some years ago, speaking, and certainly we are closer to the last of the last days, and we must warn, not only because death can come to any one of us any time, but we are very close to the end of time. There has been the falling away. There are some things that are promised in Scripture that have not yet been done, but they could take place very rapidly, very suddenly, and then the end. The question comes back, as we sang, are you washed in the blood? Are you like those that John describes wonderfully? So they came out of great tribulation, terrible times. It certainly is a picture of the end of time. And then he says, they have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. That has actually taken place. Revelation chapter 7, verse 14. And I said, Sir, thou knowest, when asked, whence came they? Thou knowest, and he said, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. There are people today who are suffering terrible tribulation. Some would say that the persecution and death in the church is worse today than ever before. Certainly could be thankful it's not that way in our area. We have freedom, we have peace, but there are those who are suffering and are possibly saying tribulation can get worse than it is. Some are suffering terribly. Some are suffering at the hands of those who even confess God and then kill as they think He orders it. But God is a God of love, a God of life through Christ. Though without Christ, we're under the wrath of God. But in Christ, we have what He said to Nicodemus. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him shall not perish. Shall not perish, otherwise we will, every one of us, but have everlasting life. For everyone that believes on Him who shed His blood, who hung on the cross, who died and rose again, and is on the right hand of the Father today, and is coming back. Let's not be in those that do these evil deeds. Let's not be in those that have pleasure in them. Some simply by watching television, murder, adultery, fornication, have pleasure in it. Are you one? Turn it off. Turn to God through Christ.
To God be the glory.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise